And I think these are like, this is like shortbread chocolate chip cookies. It's dangerous. Very, very good. And amazing. Thank you, Beverly, for doing that. That is a, if that's not a picture of love, although some of us, me included now, I don't know how many shortbreads I should be eating this Christmas season, but it's a bit of an inside joke for you. It's good. Good to see everyone here. Great to hear a bit of the hustle and the bustle and the chatting, and it's so good to see each person here, and good to see some family from outside of town that's joining you. Welcome. We are the fourth Sunday in Advent, where we had David and Cassie light these candles that are so beautifully lit for us, and the reminder of love, that Jesus came to give us hope, to bring us peace, to surprise us with joy, even in the midst of suffering, and to surround us with love. Today, I'm going to look at I'm going to look at three short verses, and it's going to give more of a theological framework, not necessarily looking at a story, but we will be looking at also at the Christmas story. And then we're going to try to look at a few statements that are confirmed by Scripture for us to be thinking about what love is when we think about who God is. So Colossians 1:19, really simple verse. There's other verses that back this up. And if you've been here for any amount of time, you'll know that we've quoted this quite regularly, is that, "For God was pleased to have his fullness dwell in him," Christ. God, who's pleased to have the fullness dwell in the person of Jesus Christ. So, in theological terms, we can kind of say then, God looks like Jesus. God looks like Jesus. And this is what we've talked about quite regularly here. The reminder of it is that God looks like Jesus. Last week, we looked and talked about the image we had. If you remember, we had the nativity scene set up here. I'm going to get rid of these keys. Sorry. We had the nativity scene set up here, and we talked a little bit about the nativity. Zach came up here at the beginning of the service, or in between during the coffee time, and Zach was just so intrigued by all the different characters in the nativity. And it was a great reminder for us to remind it as we look at the nativity set and the nativity scene and how if God looks like Jesus and Jesus and God had delighted to have the fullness of himself, of God, the Godhead, the divine, however you want to say who God is, in the person of Jesus, and God comes to us in frailty, in maybe ordinariness of humanity, maybe even poverty, comes to us being having to be someone to tend to God, it raises all kinds of questions in a good way, and it reminds us of the good news. Sometimes when we think of the gospel, even though Christmas is a big time of year in the church calendar, Advent is a great time for us to be pondering, who is this God that's coming, that the whole world has been waiting for, and what does this God look like? And God starts off by saying, I'm pointing to a nativity set that's not there, sorry, but I'm pointing at the word love. God reveals himself to humanity through humanity. God reveals himself to the entire world and all creation through a baby who was born to 13, 14-year-old woman and a carpenter father. Announced to shepherds who are outside of the religious center, outside of political center, sends the shepherds to the place where Jesus is born, and they announce good news. God looks like Jesus. So as we dwell on the nativity, and we see how the manger is a signpost of what God looks like and how God comes. And then we're going to jump ahead here a bit. Now, we don't have it up today because we usually have a cross set up here. The manger, then, if that's not going to surprise us, and we sang the song today, lead us to the cross. The cross surprises us who God is, about who he is. So the person of Jesus, who is the fullness of God, should be a great surprise to us. And so this is why we celebrate Advent. This is why we celebrate Christmas coming up here, leading up to the beautiful mystery of God coming to us in a baby. So, God was pleased to have his fullness dwell in him. God looks like Jesus. Okay, that statement. Next one, 1 John 4:16. We all know John 3:16. This would be a great one to memorize too. 1 John 4:16. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love. And all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. It's a bit of a tongue twister there for us. And so I think we're able to just say this about this statement. Theologically, we can say God is love. John hammers this home over and over and over and over again in 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. So God is love. So God looks like Jesus, and God is love. Just sit with that for a moment. The reminder that God is love on this fourth Sunday that we've lit the candle of love. And then the next verse we're going to look at is the statement in the Gospel of Matthew, and about the announcement of the birth. And I believe this is where the angel is speaking to Joseph and says, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And it's hearkening back to a prophetic word that Isaiah had about this boy that was going to come through, this child that was going to come through a virgin, and they were going to be calling him Emmanuel. Well, here it is now. Here is Jesus. God is with us. And we can see here, and Paul talks about this quite often, that God is within us as well. And in Mary, I think we talked about that a few weeks ago, there's this mystery that God was birthing himself through Mary, who had to tend to, had to understand and see, had to say yes to, that God would be bearing himself in her, and then now for her to then bear Christ for the entire world. And we talked about a couple weeks ago where we also, in a sense, are like Mary in that way, where we are God bearers, that God is within us, And God is also with us. And it's a bit of a mystery. It's a lot of a mystery. Because we are broken, frail humans that need to be surprised by a God that shows up to us. And so this here, we are able to say then, God is with us and within us. And so I want to come and boil it down to these statements for us, in a sense, these maybe three Christmas statements that I'm not sure if you're going to call them that, but today, for today's purposes, we are, is that God looks like Jesus, God is love, and God is with us and within us. So if we think about all of our pictures of who God is, if we need to understand God in human form, we look to the person of Jesus. We have, there's other archetypes that we talk about, Moses, and there's David, and we're not going to minimize all that. Well, in a sense, God, in a sense, minimized that, those pictures by bringing us the person of Jesus and saying, he is the fullness of who I am. And God is love. And God is with us and within us. I think about this in different ways. Sometimes I struggle as a pastor that God is within me. What? What does that mean? Sometimes it's a little bit easier, not easier, at different times to know that, to understand that God is with us. And God is with us in different ways. The Spirit encourages us, speaks to us, but also, I would say, comes alongside us with the hands and feet and the cookies and the cards of people and the words, but mainly with maybe people sitting with us in the midst of our pain, celebrating with us in the midst of our joy, and God is speaking to us in that way. And as we receive God, then we also recognize that God is within us. And what is that? That's the challenge maybe for me today as I contemplate this. That's one of the, maybe one of the bigger challenges for me to understand, what does that mean? What does it mean when as a pastor, I'm saying that God is within me, but then I mess up being a dad or a father or a husband or a friend? What does that mean? Well, we're broken and frail, and yet with God is within me, I'm hoping that now I'm going to understand the humility of God to then be able to move and ask for forgiveness, to want to change in those ways, because I'm, in a sense, I'm not God. But God is in me, shaping me, changing me, working in and through me in a way that then hopefully we will look more and more like God. Not as fully as Jesus, but interactions and in the way that we would love other people. That, for me, is one of the biggest challenges. And it's always a good reminder to come back to that when I think I've been askew or off-center or walking a different way, and I'm like, oh, no, it's back to Jesus here. And, oh, that same God who came gently, in a sense, mysteriously, in a child, comes to me even now? This is an, I don't know if I have this statement on here. The next one, is it love is gentle? Is that on there? Yes, Scripture speaks about that. Love is gentle, love is kind. Love is gentle, love is present. Love challenges us to love. And maybe it's that last statement that I need to be thinking about and pondering this Advent season. Some of us just need to be receive the love in your own life in that way. I'll say right now, in the last several weeks, I'll just name it, and I'll give you a precursor what I'm going to talk about on Christmas Eve a little bit. I contemplated maybe today, I'm like, no, Christmas Eve, we're going to talk a little bit more about when the angel comes and says, do not fear. When we're fearful, we react, we either fight or we flight or we freeze. And there's times in my life in the last 6 weeks, I realize I'm a bit more fearful than I used to be. And that would be because of, you know, walking through the health scare I've had. And I have to be in check with that. And hopefully, I'm going to receive and understand the love that God is with me, sitting with me in the midst of my questions, midst of my pain, also lots of joy as well, that God would be with me, but then be the reminder that God actually looks more gentle than what I might even understand through the person of Jesus. God doesn't come in some kind of political, nationalistic way that is coming to I'm at a loss for words. punish those of us that are trying to understand what it looks like in our own lives to live a life of love. There's going to come a day of recompense. There's going to come a day of God coming in a second time, and what that looks like. We can have all kinds of conversations about that, but I still think it looks like Jesus. But the reminder to us today and in the gospel stories, when we see Jesus, it looks totally different than we can ever ask or imagine. So for me, when I'm scared, I'm reminded of the time when Diane, 2 weeks ago, when we were talking about Isaiah, and we were looking at Isaiah, I believe it was Isaiah 40:10, where it talks about the mighty hand of God is going to come. And then two verses later, Diane reminded us, when the hand of God comes, what does it look like? Two verses later, it says, he brings in and holds his chicks, or holds his, sorry, the lambs, and holds them tight. That's what the hand of God looks like. What a beautiful picture, and what a great good news story to someone who is feeling fearful, to hold them in tight. So all the wriggling and the screaming and the, I don't know if you've ever reminded yourselves of holding your young ones when they're really little and held them tight and finally in the midst, and then they would just finally maybe go to sleep or relax. This is what I am envisioning the God of love to do for me and for you. That when that arm of God comes, that arm of God comes and would pull you in like a lamb, tight. So God reveals himself, all of himself, to us in the person of Jesus. And love comes in this way to us. Gently, not overbearing. And this love is powerful. Powerful to soften the hardest hearts. Powerful to conquer death. Powerful to forgive and to conquer sin. And the one who is love, the God who is love, his name is Emmanuel, which means God with us. Love is present. Love is understanding and empathizes in our situations and our circumstances and is simply present with us. And according to the passage in 1 John, it is within us as we seek to live in love. God abides and lives in us. It is as if we then become the ones like Mary and also become the ones who are bearing the love of God to the world in the circumstances that we even find ourselves in. That we could possibly tend that vulnerable love in us so that the world might also experience the love of God practically and incarnationally through each of us. In a sense, we become those image bearers of God, of the powerful love of God that might not look powerful in your definition or my definition. And this same love revealed to us in Jesus challenges us to love in the same way. But I don't know about you, sometimes I'm not prepared for such love. I'm not prepared for it. If we look at the gospel story in both Luke and Matthew, especially Matthew, there's some crazy turns that happen when Jesus comes. And they have to flee to Egypt because Herod's like, all right, we don't want this kind of love. We don't want that. Herod missed the point. Herod thought that the king, this ruler, was going to come in force and it's going to act just like Herod. So then Herod is Herod and goes and looks to kill all the kids under two, boys under two within a region. Herod's going to be Herod. But God's going to be God. And God reveals himself through Jesus. It's going to look differently. Could we be prepared for a God of such love in our own lives? The Christmas story helps us to understand the larger story. The people whom God created and brought into being weren't very well prepared for his arrival. And I think we can say that's for us too. So what's good about Advent? Good about Advent is we can ponder and think about this and be prayerful about it. Some of you are following that Advent prayer app, Reflections of Advent. It's an awesome opportunity for you to be able to do it. It's not too late. You can still do it up until Christmas. They're all in there. They're like 10 minutes long, and it's beautiful, set to music and scripture and prayer and just simple devotions. That's one way that we can prepare ourselves. Other way that we can prepare ourselves is to maybe name our fears that we have. And maybe there's some wriggling that we're doing. And maybe we're able to say, God, would you allow, we want to allow your mighty hand to come and hold us tight. And then I want to end with this question in the midst of all of this. First of all, to recap this idea that God always looks like Jesus. God is love. God is with us and within us. And during the Advent season, yeah, we're waiting for God to show up. Sometimes God is going to show up in different ways. Sometimes we don't see God show up in our own lives, so that we just then will take part in the story to see the great reminder that God does show up in humanity. We hear other people's stories and hear that God's showing up in their lives. And maybe even if God doesn't show up in my life, I can hold on to hope that he will at some point. And it's not just a formula. It doesn't happen all of a sudden at Christmas. Not sure God's going to show up in all of your lives in different ways or the only way that you want. No, but we're part of the story to remind us that God does show up in our lives. We read those verses. That liturgy, Christ is coming. Christ is always coming, always entering a troubled world and a wounded heart. This is the hope that we hold on to, that God shows up in this way. But here, what if, and we're always waiting for God, but what if some of you may be ready. I'm asking, I'm hoping I'm ready. But what if Advent is also this? What if God is waiting for us? What if God's waiting for us? What might that look like? A God that's patient, slow to anger, and abounding in love. A God who's waiting for us to turn, to have eyes to see him in a way that no one would have thought or imagined that he would have come. What if God is waiting for us to experience God's self in us, to be able to change us and move us and stir us and form us inside, to hold us in when we're really fearful, so that we then can be the people of God that be willing to hold others in their own fear and to say there's hope and we're going to work for peace and joy comes in the morning and yes, we're here with you in love. What if God's waiting for us? What a beautiful picture. I was just thinking about that this week. And what might it look like as God is waiting for us? Maybe see the picture of the parable son, the parable of the lost son, where God is, son takes is gone away. The other son is home, but then God is on the porch just waiting for the son. And then what does the posture of the loving father look like? It's running too. It's embracing. It's yes. So yes, maybe Advent, the picture we need to see is not just us that are waiting, but maybe God is waiting for us. So may you be able to come home to a God who looks like Jesus, one who is contrite, gentle in heart, one that's willing to bring, sit with you in the midst of all that you're experiencing, and one that actually is willing to abide in you as well. I'm going to end us with it's a bit of a poem or a reading. I believe it's from Carol Penner. And then we're going to, I'll pray and we'll sing one more song. Advent is our season of waiting for the coming of Jesus, our Lord. But long ago, he already came. So what are we waiting for then? For his real coming to you, to me, to our world, where is his kingdom among us? How can people see whether he is here? Can they see him in us and in our communities? This is what we're waiting for, or rather, what the Lord is waiting for. The Lord is waiting for our active preparation of his love and justice among people. But he will do it with us and alongside us. So let the Lord come and activate us with the blessing of the Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God, thank you for this opportunity to be here. Thank you for cards that turn into cookies made with love towards us and the reminder of your love towards us. And so I pray this prayer that Paul prayed for the church millennia ago. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Amen.